This morning's scripture reading will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Again, the scripture reading will be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 from the New King James Version. God's word reads, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The next passage that we'll be reading is coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting at verse 36, going to verse 39. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 36 through the end of the chapter. God's word reads, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul."
What a blessing it is for us to be together as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we are thankful for you being here on this morning. Thankful for the reading of Scripture, Brother Leon, and the great respect that he has for the Word of God and how he reads the Word of God and, of course, how he lives it. When we think about what we have been discussing all month, we have been discussing the environment that we have here at the Ninth and Main congregation. And what a blessing it is to have such an environment, to have such a location where we can be properly influenced, where we can receive the encouragement and the correction and the admonition that is needed in order to view our lives, in order to see who we are, in order to help one another, in order to please God, in order to be an influence upon the world that is around us. And so we have been talking about different aspects of our environment. And so Brother Evan preached on last week concerning Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and how God's teachings, his grace, teaches us to have the proper environment as well. And so I want us to talk about finishing strong and the type of environment that cultivates that. And for that reason, we had 4, verses 6 through 8 read in our hearing. And when we think about having the proper environment, we have to keep in view what is important. We have to keep in mind what is consistent, and to maintain the hope that we have of eternal salvation. And brethren, when we think about this and we consider this more and more, I hope, pray, and trust that we truly understand the beauty that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. But what will it require for us to finish strong? What will it require to continue to cultivate and maintain this environment that helps us to finish strong? Well, I believe that it's going to continue to require a great God that loves us through his instruction. John 15, 9 and 10. But also, friends, it demands a Savior that's going to continue to lead us back home to God. John 14 and verse 6. And then we cannot forget that we must maintain our part in fulfilling the will of God. And this must take place on a daily basis, Luke 9 and verse number 23. But why do we say these things? We say these things because, number one, if we're not all in, if both of our spiritual feet are not in, then we won't make it back home to God. Number two, because we have to know that we have an adversary, the devil, that is seeking to destroy us. Jesus would say long ago in John 10 and verse number 10, "For the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Friends, we have a foe. We have an adversary. We have one that is breaking out all of the schemes in order to trip us up and to cause us to turn away from God. And so, therefore, we need to see the big picture. And it would do us well, as Brother Leon would say, to take heed to the Word of God. And so when I considered this idea and thought about what should I be preaching on? What does it mean to finish strong? And how can we continue to cultivate an environment that will aid us in finishing strong as the people of God? God's people have always needed encouragement. God's people have always needed admonition. They have always needed someone that was going to come to their aid, come to their side in order for them to finish strong. But we need to be those people as well that can do the same. For this reason, we had Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36, and yea, verse 35 through verse 39 read. And the reason why is because there is always a need for or of endurance. There is always a need for or of endurance. Hanging in there. God's people must be encouraged to hang in there. Number two, the just must live by faith. The just must live by faith. And number three, the necessity of not quitting. Unfortunately, even the elect are sometimes fooled out of their eternal salvation, Brother Brian. Sometimes, as the people of God, because of the troubles and the turmoils of life, we find ourselves turning our back upon Jehovah God and going back into the beggar elements of the world. Sometimes, even as the people of God, we become so distracted with all of the teachings and the things of this particular life that we forget to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so that caused me to think again. What type of environment have we promoted here? What type of environment have we cultivated? And so this caused me to think about three questions. The three questions that I was thinking about is, can we do this? The answer is absolutely yes. Another question I was asking, are we able to do this? And the answer is absolutely yes. And the last question I was thinking about, will we make it back to God? That depends upon us. That depends upon us. But God has given us everything that we need, friends, in this particular life for godliness. He has given us everything we need in this word. He has given us the church. He has given us a sound mind. And so I wanted us to consider Revelation 22. I didn't give that for a scriptural reading, but I want you to turn to Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, this is a book of encouragement, a book of victory, a book that demonstrates to us that the children of God that keeps their eyes on God, keep their eyes on Jesus, maintains the commandments of God, and don't love their life even to the death, if they would just keep their eyes on God, they will make it home. They will make it back to God. They will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Again, unfortunately, there are some that have fallen away. Unfortunately, there are some that have turned their back on God. And unfortunately, there were some that have turned their back on the church. But notice Revelation 22. John says, "And he showed me a pure water, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse." Look at that, brethren. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." "They shall see his face." See the victory, brethren, friends? "And his name shall be on their foreheads." Identity. "There shall be no night there," no resemblance of this earth. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and righteousness will reign forever. They shall reign for him forever and ever. Now, it was not my aim to deal with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, because Paul, as he looks at his life, and he looks back at his life, and remember verses 1 to verse number 5, he told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I don't want to deal with that. I really don't want to deal with how Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I don't want to deal with that either. Really, what I want us to deal with is in Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews 10. Because Paul, he had his eyes on Jesus. Paul understood finishing strong. Paul knew that he had a crown of righteousness waiting. And everyone that saw things the way that Saul saw those things, well, they look forward to the appearing of Christ as well. But I want to focus in more on Hebrews chapter 10. And when I think about Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse number 35, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. Hebrews 10, starting at verse number 35. Matter of fact, starting at verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession. That's eternal life right there. For yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your boldness. Don't cast away that which actually holds you down, spiritually speaking, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. And that's our first point, brethren. There is a need for the children of God at times to really have that stick-to-itness, that ability to hang in there, that mentality to not give up. And sometimes, even as the people of God, we find our spiritual backs against the wall and we say to ourselves, I can't do this no more. The environment, even though it has been cultivated and people are getting along with one another, they even have problems with one another, they work those problems out, they're striving to work those problems out. And even though this is a healthy environment, it's not enough to keep some. Brother Brian, it's just not enough. And it made me think about Jesus and his disciples and all of that multitude that followed Jesus in John chapter 6. And they left Jesus, and Jesus turns to his disciples and say, will you leave as well? And Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's no one else to go to. Here, the Hebrews writer says something that's very interesting and worthy of our attention, keeping in mind that here we have these Jewish Christians who are threatening on leaving Christianity and going back under the law, which was nailed to the cross, which means that it was no longer in effect. And it reminds me of when a child of God today leaves the beauties of salvation and they go back to the world. I can give the Jews at least this credit. At least the Jews went back to a system that at one time, Brother Nate, was authorized. But when a child of God leaves Christianity and goes back into denominationalism, they are going back from that from which is authorized to that which is unauthorized. So it's not even a direct correlation. But when a child of God leaves Christianity and goes back into the world for whatever reason, here we see that the children of God needed encouragement. He says in verse 38, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What does that teach us? It teaches us that we have to do God's will. Jesus said on one occasion when he was in the garden, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Friends, this should make sense to us, that it's going to require us to be a faithful people. Look at Hebrews 11 and look at verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you think about the idea of substance, we're talking about that which stands under. But what stands under? Faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, yes. But the system of faith, Christianity, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what we're standing on top of. And that's what undergirds us. That's what keeps us strong. And so how do we continue, Brother Evan, to cultivate an environment that people can finish strong? We got to cultivate the gospel and keep preaching nothing but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we cultivate strength. Friends, even though this may be a people of fellowship, and we are a people of fellowship, this is not a social club. This is the church, which requires us to have a need of endurance, to endure even under immense persecution, even under family persecution. When my family doesn't want to come to church, I need to have my mind made up. I'm going to church regardless. Why? Because I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I got to keep in mind that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. And the more I think about that, it made me think about the confidence that God wanted his people to have. The boldness. So go back to Hebrews 10 and look at verse number 36 again. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Friends, if the promise of eternal life is not enough for me to remain faithful, then I don't know what else is. I don't know what else is. I don't know what else is. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves, friends. What's keeping us in the church? It ought to be our confidence that we have in God. But can I illustrate it? Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Chapter 27. Acts 27. And I want us to take notice of verse 13 through 17. Acts 27. Paul is making his voyage to Rome. And Paul, he tells the sailor and the captain of the ship that, friends, there's going to be great loss if we continue on this trip. If we go on this trip, it's going to be great loss. They didn't listen to him, Brother Corlin. They didn't listen. And so what happened? Well, the ship gets off unto the waters, unto the sea, and a great hurricane takes place. Oh, yes. And this great hurricane, as it took place, something was done by the helmsman, if you will. Those mariners, the ones that was working the actual ship. If you look at verse number 16 and notice what the Bible says, and running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship for the fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands. They struck sail and they were driven, and so were driven. Notice the word cables. The word cables there is the idea of a frapping system. Well, what they would do, the mariners, those who were working the ship, would tie great ropes on the ship where they would have hooks, and they would tie from one end of the ship or the other end of the ship, and they would tie it tight to keep the ship together as it was going through the rocky waters. And so that caused me to think, what should undergird us? What should we have a need for, an endurance? And so here, as the rocky waters was causing the ship to rock and to roll, if I can say it that way, and to be tossed and to turn, this rope would actually keep the ship together as it goes through the water. As I was talking to some good brethren in Michigan, we was talking about this, and they brought out some good points. They were saying that you got to make sure that you have the right ropes. You got to make sure that your tackle is ready and that the rope can actually be designed to take care of the actual ship as they go through the water. What happens when we don't have the right rope? What happens when we don't actually undergird ourselves? What happens when we don't take time to actually study the Word of God and apply it to our lives? Now, when the rocky roads begin to happen in life and we begin to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the problems of life, we begin to fall away. And so the Hebrews writer said, you have need of endurance. This environment that we're cultivating ought to be an environment that we ought to be able to help people strap up. If not, why not? That means that everyone is necessary, friends. And we need to gird up and wrap up our minds. One brother said something in some of our VBS songs with our kids. We sing, I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I thought that was a good point. Question, are you wrapped up in faith? Are you wrapped up in endurance? The Hebrews writer, for 13 chapters, brethren, I don't think he did this on accident. Being inspired by the Holy Spirit, was trying to get the children of God, hang in there, stay in this environment. You won't make it without it. You won't make it without it. I don't know. I don't understand why a child of God would leave Christ and think that they can make it outside of Christ. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. Well, Brother Mike, I'm still reading my Bible and I'm still praying. You can't read, you can't pray outside. You got to be faithful. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 is still in the scriptures, brethren. But what happens? Look at 2 Timothy 2 and look at verse number 26. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, we find Paul again talking to Timothy, and he says something about the craftiness of the devil. Wow, this really hurts. This bothers me. Why? Look at what he says. Because God is wanting men and women to come to repentance. Verse 25. But in verse number 26, he says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you know that we can become so intoxicated with error that the spiritual environment that we've cultivated won't even be enough for you to say, I think I'll go back? Friends, sin can take over your life. Distractions can take over your life. And this is why we have to do our best to keep sin out of the church. This is why we have to do our best to make sure that we promote endurance, patience. In the real sense of the word, now watch this, and this is what I wrote. Without faith, we lose focus, and Satan takes us captive in the real sense of the idea. I thought about that. Sometimes when people leave the faith, sometimes when they leave the church, sometimes when they stop coming, we say, well, they're just a little weak right now. No, they've been taken captive. In the real sense of the word, in the real sense of the word, friends, the devil has taken over the mind of the individual through the submission of sin. And now this individual has been led captive to do the will of the devil. Friends, this is why we need each other. Point two, look at Hebrews chapter 10, point two. And I want you to take notice of verse 37 and 38. Because this is so important. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. Let's stop real quick. I believe it's some seven times you find the phrase, the just shall live by faith in Scripture. And in all seven times, watch this. They all have a different context. Now, Brother Ryan, isn't that amazing? In every single time, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by his faith, they're in a different context. And I'm not going to go through those. But I'm going to tell you this point. This is what I learned. God is teaching us, I don't care the context, you live by faith. I don't care what's going on in your life. You trust me. I don't care what comes your way. I don't care who comes your way. I need you to take my word, and I need you to trust me. Trust me. The just shall live by faith. Put these in your Bible. Put these in your notes. Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4. Galatians 3, 11 and 12. Nehemiah 9, verse 29. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And the text that we just gave, Hebrews 10 and verse number 38. Every single situation that this phrase is in, God is teaching us, I need you to trust me. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. I might not. But God does. Brother Mike, you don't understand exactly what I'm going through, what I go through at home. I might not. But God doesn't owe us an answer for every question we have. He doesn't. And the environment that we cultivate has to say that. Well, Brother Mike, I got questions. Brother Brian, I got questions. I just need to know. Well, that might not be an answer for your situation. You got to trust God. Well, what does that mean? It means that I got my eyes on Jesus regardless of what comes my way. And this has to be the environment cultivated. You stay strong. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. You got to make it. But if you don't, it won't be because God didn't do all that he could through his word and his people to get you there. And so I say this to myself all the time, and it's a scary thing that I say to myself. Mike, if you go to hell, it won't be God's fault. That's scary. That scares me when I say that. Because I think about this good group of people. I think about all the good people I've met. I think about the good wife and kids that I have. And if I dock the doors of hell, it will be my fault. It's not that God didn't do all that he could to get me there. Now, you notice I didn't say you. I said me. And brethren, I have need of endurance just like you do. But this environment makes you want to live right. It makes you want to repent. It makes you want to confess. It makes you want to encourage. It makes you want to hear encouragement. It makes you want to be admonished. It makes you want to be the best that you can be. And even when I'm not the best that I can be, I can have a good brother or a good sister say, you can do better. Amen. I love it when my wife tells me, even though I give her trouble, Mike, you know you could have done that better. Now go on over there and sit down. I said, yeah, she right though. It's true. Sometimes the brethren do us the same way. But if they're telling us the truth, brethren, we ought to love them for it. But look at verse 38 and 39. Wow. Because we have to remember the consequences as I come to a close. That faith is necessary, that this environment that we're cultivating by the word of God, through the application of the word of God, friends, we got to remember the consequences. And I thought about this. And Brother Evan, as I was thinking about what we was talking about last night at the table, how the message of God goes into the mouth and it's sweet. Oh, man, this is good stuff. But then when it gets to the stomach and to the belly, it's bitter. Now I got to say it. This is where it gets tough. To read one thing, I'm like, wow, but now I got to look you in your face and I got to say it. That's where it gets tough. Look what he says, brethren. But if anyone draws back, if anyone leaves this environment, if anyone leaves Christ, if anyone leaves the church, if anyone leaves the new covenant and try to go back to Moses, God says, I have no pleasure in him. Well, I thought God wants all men to come to repentance. He does. He still loves you, but he has no pleasure. If I was to go off the deep end and do things that I ain't got no business doing and go off into left field, God says, I have no pleasure in you right now. That's tough. Because if you contextualize this, brethren, we have Christians that are leaving Christ and they're going back under Moses and saying, I can be justified under Moses. And it's like a Christian leaving the church today and saying, I can stay home, or I can go back into denominationalism. I can go back into sin and God is still with me. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. And we can't, as the members of the Lord's church, as the body of Christ, as the church of Christ, we can't say, no, you're okay, you're not okay. You're not. See, Leon, you want to preach? It's sweet, but when you got to say it, it's bitter. Because then you'll have your brethren, not here, but other places, like, well, you didn't have to say it like that. You're being mean. Lord, God said that. God said that. Brother, I got to understand that. I thought God is love, and he loves you so much that he gave his son in order for you to not turn away from him. And God says, I have no pleasure in the soul that turns away from me. Well, if God doesn't, then I can't. Because I got to be on par with him. And so that caused me to think, God has no pleasure in the soul that quits. Now, Brother Daniel, you heard the way that I said it. Quitting. Wow. When you start using words like quit, it becomes personal. Oh, so you're a quitter? To leave Christ is to quit. This environment cannot cultivate quitting. It has to cultivate victory. It has to cultivate faithfulness. It has to cultivate truth. It has to cultivate heaven as our goal. Endurance is necessary. So with that being said, friends, the necessity of not quitting, no matter what, is the key. Why? Because as the righteous, we are bold as lions, Proverbs 28:1. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, God's people going into Canaan. They're about to conquer Canaan, if you will. And you get to Joshua chapter 7, and we have the city of Ai, however way you want to say it. And they didn't need the whole army, if you will. They just needed a few thousand men, not too many. Well, they go in there and they get ran out of there, lose some soldiers, lose some men. And so Joshua, he rinses his clothes, he falls on his face and says, Jehovah, what happened? Jehovah says, there's sin in the camp. You need to go find out what's taking place. A man by the name of Achan took what belonged to God, the accursed thing. He takes of the accursed thing, and they had to go through this procedure to figure out who it was. They figure out who it was, and God has him and his family and all of his possessions burned and killed. Killed and burned. So that caused me to think, God's people were on the run from their enemies. If they're with God, there was no reason for them to run. And it caused me to think about this. If I'm going to run, I need to run toward God, not away from him. Which means that when I think about men like Elijah, who ran away from Jezebel, after this great victory, Brother Brian, over the 450 prophets of Baal, he runs from a woman? He did. And here come God, Elijah. One thing I love about God in that situation, he didn't give up on Elijah. God doesn't give up on us, but he has no pleasure in the one that turns his back on him. This environment that we've cultivated, we have to tell one another, you hang in there and don't you give up. But if you do, you need to know where you're going and you need to know what you're doing. Elijah, don't run. Elijah, turn toward God. Israel didn't trust and believe in God. And what happened? They didn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And Adam listened to a voice that wasn't God. And next thing you know, he partakes of the fruit. And God had to put him out. What are we learning? We're learning that if we're going to run, we need to run to God. And no wonder Jesus says, God in the flesh, Matthew 11:28, come to me. I'll give you life. It makes sense to us. Proverbs 18 and verse number 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run and are protected. They're safe. What do we learn? Brethren, we learn that if we're going to make it, we need to continue to cultivate an environment that everybody can benefit from. I'm talking about every last one of us. If we're going to finish strong, this environment must be strong. We live in a nation, we live in a world, we live in a time where men are weak, even in the church. No. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need to be strong in the word of God, strong in the gospel, strong in the application thereof. And yes, times, they're tough and they're difficult at times. But friends, we can't afford to turn our back on Jesus. We can't afford to turn our back on God. And God forbid, we can't afford to turn our backs on one another. We need each other. I need Royce as much as his jokes are horrible sometimes, but I need him. The other day, where's Sierra? Sierra, where are you? Yes, I'm standing with Sierra, and Royce comes in there, and he shakes her hand, he walks out, and he tells a joke on the way out. And I'm like, what? And Sierra's just laughing. I'm like, don't encourage him. But I need that man. If that man's not part of my life, life gets tough. I need Daniel. I need Brian. I need Colin. I need Eric. I need brethren. Why? Because God didn't intend for us to do this by ourselves. Hence the reason we have the church. And the church, they're the called out ones of sin. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. And so what will it require? Chad Sherto is going to require me laying aside every weight and the sin and running with endurance. And it's going to require me looking to Jesus. It's going to require it. Now, men like Chad, they're like rocks. Not much bother them. Even surgery. He probably could have did surgery on himself if he knew how to do it. But you need strong men like that, strong in mind. Why? Because the weak are going to be amongst us. And every now and then, we're the weak. We're not always the strong one. So this environment ought to be an environment that says, you don't always have to be strong, but you can't always be weak. I know sometimes you might fall into sin, but you can't be in sin all the time. And I know that your biblical knowledge might not be where you want it to be, but you got to be growing. We can't be the ones that's always receiving. Even the God of heaven, when you come to him, he wants you to come with thanksgiving, not always asking for something. And so we end with this. This environment has to be an environment of strength and of courage and of tenacity. And it must be spiritual. And it must be of truth. And we can't compromise that. However, we may not see things the way we need to see them. But brethren ought to say, you keep studying. I'm going to love you in the midst of it. And I'm not going to treat you like a heathen while you're learning. I need that. Because as a student of the word of God, I don't always get it right. But I need brethren around me that's going to help me get it right. And you shouldn't mind being wrong, but you ought to mind staying wrong. That's what you ought to mind. Brother, that's Christianity. That's the church of our Lord. That's the church of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, hallowed be your name. You're too good to us, Father. You really are. We fail you. We're selfish at times. We're distracted. But you're so merciful. You've extended your grace through your Son, through your word, through the church. Pray to Father we'll never take that for granted and that we'll extend that to those who are outside of Christ and to one another. pray to Father for this congregation that we will do all that we can to continue to cultivate an environment of strength and spirituality and be sure of our eternal salvation. I ask, dear Father, that you be with the leadership, be with those who are serving as deacons, ministers, teachers. But most of all, Father, be with the members. We know it's difficult being in the midst of the world all the time, being influenced by them, by family members that don't know your son, Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of their sins, and that influence tears them down, makes them weak, causes them to be discouraged, despondent, and ultimately throwing up their hands in frustration, leaving your son, deceiving themselves, thinking that it's okay, but it's not. Pray to Father that you bless us to be strong as a group, as a unit. We ask, dear Father, that you forgive us when we fail thee. Help us to always humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to finish strong, but you got to get in the race. You got to get in Christ. Brother Mike, how do I get in Christ? There's this great news called the gospel. Paul, by inspiration, says that the power to save is in that gospel. Romans 1:16. The righteousness of God is in that gospel. Romans 1:17. And he outlines what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Philip, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Acts 8, in verse number 12, covers all of it. In one sermon, he covers all of it. He went preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. There's your gospel system in one verse. In one verse. You can't have the gospel without the church, and you can't have the gospel without the Christ. They go hand in hand, and no wonder Jesus. And Mark 1:14 picks up the baton, if you will, spiritually speaking, after John is in prison, about to be beheaded, and he came preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus, by inspiration of the Spirit, being God in the flesh, would say something very, very powerful. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then in the very next verse, he calls it the kingdom of God. The church is the kingdom. You got to get in it. But how do I get in the kingdom? How do I get in the church? In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. How do I get into Christ? Galatians 3:26, we're baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ. My preacher doesn't believe that. Doesn't matter. Jesus said that. Paul, by inspiration, says that. Peter says it's the like figure. Friends, that's the only way you can come in contact with the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9:14. That you can have your conscience cleansed from dead works. Now you can serve God. Now you can be strong. Oh, Zerubbabel, be strong. Oh, Joshua, be strong. Israel, be strong. You obey the gospel, then you be strong. And you got this group of people that will help you as much as they can, but you got to put your best foot forward. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been strong. Matter of fact, you're contemplating quitting like others have. And brethren, make no mistake about it. As the minister of this congregation and one of the elders, I hear about our brethren walking away. And I do all that I can personally to try to go get them, as well as the other elders. But you got to make up your mind that you want to put your feet in the church. We can't do it for you. For even our Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. But the knob is on the inside. You open it up, you let me in, I'll come dine with you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.